Good morning, Borda. So our reading this morning is taken from Mark, chapter 10, starting at verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was so enjoying listening to Judith read then that I almost forgot that I was preaching. But the story sounded familiar. And it will to you too, because it's the story of Bartimaeus, the man who could see without eyes. Imagine my surprise when I was working for Sir Julian Hodge in the Merchant Bank. And when I started, they said, you've got a secretary. Oh, I rubbed my hands with glee, you know, the prospect of a lovely secretary working for me. It was a man. And what is more, he was blind. Tom Salmon was his name. I got to know him as a lovely Christian brother and who worshipped with the brethren. But I told him one day, he was looking a bit sad, to cheer up. And he said to me, "How can you be optimistic when you've got a misty optic?" Think about that. Well, Bartimaeus certainly had a misty optic. He couldn't see physically. But my, he recognized Jesus for who he was. Throughout the Bible, indeed, in everyday experience, there appears to be a difference between sight and vision. You know what I mean. Many people have excellent eyesight, but when they are disappointed by an experience, it's enough to blot out the sun. Everything goes dark. Something goes wrong, immediately life is not worth living. There are other people, like Bartimaeus, who can't see physically, and yet can see a world beyond, and can see the hope that there is in Jesus. I don't often quote mostly tongue, but look and listen to what he says. We think too small, like the frog at the bottom of the well. He thinks the sky is only as big as the top of the well. If he surfaced, he would have an entirely different view. It's time for us to look up and see just how big our God is and the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus. Let's consider the story of Bartimaeus and what he saw. Firstly, Bartimaeus saw that the Messiah had come. When many other people didn't recognize Jesus, Bartimaeus knew exactly who he was. In John chapter 9, it describes another blind man and emphasizes that he'd been born blind. This is not said of Bartimaeus, so he probably once had been able to see. Then disease struck, and from that day, the unfortunate man was destined to go blind. The necessities of life required that he earn a living somehow, and therefore, as the weeks passed by, he realized there was no other option but to beg, sit at the side of the road, and ask for help. And when people crowded the streets on market day, he begged to them. When the streets were quiet, the empty beggar leaned against the wall to consider all he had heard from passing by. And what had he heard? He heard that there was a man from Nazareth called Jesus, who actually was giving sight to the blind. Can you imagine the hope that raised in his heart as he heard there was someone that could give sight to a blind man? So when Jesus came by, he called him by the name, Son of David. Have mercy on me. He recognized Jesus as the Son of David, the son of a king. Could this be the Messiah? And in our reading today, we have three descriptions of Jesus. First of all, in verse 45, we see him described as the Son of Man. Then in verse 47, Bartimaeus sees him as Jesus of Nazareth, where the Messiah was going to come from. And then in verse 48, Bartimaeus calls him Son of David, seeing him as the descendant of that greatest king that Israel had known until that time. And these three revelations teach us some important truths that I want us to observe today. When Jesus called himself the Son of Man, that was very significant because he was claiming to be the Messiah of prophecy. Think about that. This was our Lord's favorite description of himself, the Son of Man. Only once in the Gospels did others call him by that name. And when his enemies cynically asked, who is this Son of Man? Jesus deliberately chose this name because it associated him with the Messiah of Jewish scripture. The term is used, you'll find it in the book of Psalms, in the prophets, and in history, especially in the story of Daniel, who recognized the Messiah was going to be the Son of Man. So when Jesus heard when the Jews heard Jesus call himself by this title, they knew that he was suggesting he was the Messiah. Did you realize that in the Old Testament there are over 300 prophecies predicting when the Messiah was going to be born, where he was going to be raised, where he was, the nature and type of his ministry, how he was going to die, his resurrection, is all in the Old Testament. Over 300 prophecies fulfilled in the life of one man in the space of 33 years. You know, a mathematician calculated that this would take one chance in 83 billion. With any mathematicians, you can go home and check it for yourself. Claiming to be the Messiah, one chance in 83 billion that you could be right, but we know him to be just that. It's phenomenal. The crowds called him Jesus of Nazareth, which established him as a man not just of prophecy, but of history. That is how Jesus is described in history books. You see, there is no doubt that Jesus is an historical personality, character. No historian today with us would deny the existence of Jesus of Nazareth, born some 2,000 years ago. Scholars of the last generation devoted their time and energies to endeavor to dissociate the Christ of history from the Christ of the Gospels. They attempted to cut out the miraculous, the so-called, as they called them, legendary accretions, those things that were added as the pages of history passed by. But as a result of their research and the application of the recognized rules of literary criticism, they found that they were attempting the impossible. The miracles were not an add-on after all. They are the stuff of history. Jesus did perform those miracles. Amen. Someone said amen, a tabernacle? Amen indeed. It's the truth. Over there, here we see the vision of Bartimaeus. Not only as the Messiah of prophecy, but as the Son of David, the monarch of eternity, as I call it. David was the greatest king that the Jews had known until the Messiah. And the Messiah was going to come from David's line. The prophets knew that. And Bartimaeus, though physically blind, saw Jesus more clearly than anyone else. He saw King Jesus. Did you see the significance of these descriptions of Jesus? The Messiah of prophecy, the man of history, the monarch of eternity. But not only did Bartimaeus see that the Messiah had come, He recognized the moment had come. In verses 46 to 50, it spells it out. He may have been blind, but he was not deaf. As he heard the noise of the crowd moving, he asked what it all meant. And he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was leaving the city. Notice that. We see that Bartimaeus was sitting at the roadside. Probably he'd often wondered how best he could reach the healer. But it was very difficult to find anyone who would volunteer to take him on such a journey. There was no easy means of transport in those days, and therefore Bartimaeus was left alone with his frustration. Then, suddenly, what he had never expected came to pass. Jesus was in his street. Jesus was near him. The moment had come. Bartimaeus could not see the people by whom he was surrounded, neither could he see the sky above. But he did see the moment had come that Jesus was right at hand. The opportunity of a lifetime. And his cry for help announced the thrilling fact that he intended to take advantage of this priceless opportunity. We must remember that before the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world to preach, and with the same commission went to promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." If that promise is true, you know what it means? That Jesus is here. Do you believe that? Believing it makes all the difference in the world, because if you have a need, you may not be blind, but you may have another need. And if you have a need and you realize that Jesus is here, he is the one person that is able to meet that need. Have you got it? Do you understand it? Jesus is here for you today. If you have a need, he's able to meet that need. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that every need I've ever had, I found met in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how deep the need is, he's able to go that deep. No matter how big that need is, he's able to scale it and overcome it. And he's here. We're told that Bartimaeus was sitting at the roadside, wondering how he could reach this man. There was no easy means. But he realized now the moment had come for him to reach out. His cry for help announced the thrilling fact that he was going to take advantage of the moment. Jesus, the same Jesus. That's a lovely phrase in Acts 1 verse 8. This same Jesus. He's here. Got that? This same Jesus is here today. But do you have the eyes to see him? Is your heart warming towards him? Have you the voice that can call out to him, "Have mercy on me"? Notice the fickleness of the crowd. One moment they were shouting, "Shut up! You can't be bothered with someone like you." And in the next breath, someone is saying, "Cheer up, he wants to see you." What a contrast. Bartimaeus will not listen to any voices. He's intent on meeting the one who he senses has the authority to help him. Genuine seekers after truth are persistent and enthusiastic. And if there's someone here today that wants to know Jesus, or wants to know Jesus better, he is here, but you have to seek him. The best place to find him is by his Spirit in the Word. I'm amazed throughout the years of my ministry, the number of people who have come to find Jesus through the Word. I remember one occasion, sat at home, 8 o'clock, on a Saturday morning. There was a knock at the door, and there was a man there. He looked a bit disheveled. He said, "Will you look at my bag?" I thought he was going to try to sell me something, you know. And inside, he had tracts, Christian literature of all sorts, that he'd been given over the years. And he'd read them all, but it didn't make sense to him. He said, I heard about you. And I've been asking all the way from the centre of Cardiff down to Grainstone, where we were living at the time, do you know where John James lives? And ultimately, I found you. He said, can you explain it to me? What a joy that early Saturday morning. Not only to open up the literature that he had, but to open up the scriptures and to show him Jesus. He was saved. And although he didn't live in Cardiff, he actually lived in Birmingham. We were able to connect him with a church there, and it was wonderful for years afterwards to hear of the way that that man went on to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for Christian literature. And how a leaflet given away, or even found on the street. We knew someone that found a leaflet in Cardiff, but it had my name and address on, and they found their way to us, and through that piece of paper, another found Jesus. God is a seeking Father. He's seeking those that need and want to be saved. And maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus personally. They don't have that blessed assurance that Jesus is theirs. But you'd like to know him. You'd like to have that assurance. Then I'd love to encourage you today to speak to the pastor, or to speak to one of the leaders, or speak to me. I always carry in my Bible a few copies of this little booklet, Heaven and How Do You Expect to Get There? I don't know how many people have come to Christ through reading that little booklet, but it's a lot. And if you need to know the way, the truth and the life, Jesus is here, and he wants you to know him and to meet him today. Someday, I'm not being morbid, but it's the truth. Someday, we'll be presented with our final opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and to be saved. Have we ever thought about that somber fact? That this might be the last time you hear the gospel preached? Don't miss a golden opportunity to respond. We had a member here at one time. He became part of another church plant from here. So he's not here today. But his name was David. And David was concerned that his mother, his last surviving parent, wasn't a Christian. And she was getting older. He didn't want her to die and be lost. So he said, will you come to church? He brought her one Sunday evening to church, knowing that Sunday evenings in those days were evangelistic in nature. And David brought his mother. And she asked if she could speak to me after the service. She said, you know, I've never heard that story before. What story? I've never heard about the story of Jesus coming and living and dying and rising again so that I could be saved. Almost unbelievable, I know. But that night, she did have her eyes opened. And in that very row, she asked Jesus to come into her life. Oh, hallelujah. A lady with no church background, just a son who had found his way here, met Christ, and through her son, she came. Her eyes were opened, her heart was warmed, and she was saved. Bartimaeus saw the moment had come. But finally he saw the miracle had come. The miracle of eyes being opened was preceded by a question from Jesus. Listen, because Jesus would ask you the same question. What do you want me to do for you? Let it sink in. See not me for a moment. Hear not my voice for a moment, though it's difficult. But here, Jesus himself saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He's asking you. And you have to respond. Bartimaeus had many needs. He was not only blind, but because he was blind, he was poor, and that's why he begged. But he knew that if he could see, then he could work. So he asked for the most important thing. Rabbi, he said, I want to see. Bartimaeus desired sight above all else. His was a genuine faith with a strong element of trust. Implicit in the term rabbi is the idea of teacher. He recognized Jesus to be a teacher, someone who had superior knowledge, which the student wishes to access. Bartimaeus believed and he received. And when the Lord granted his request, when the darkness had been banished, Bartimaeus was told to go on his way. Possibly the Lord remembered that somewhere in the city would be relatives who would thrill to hear the good news of his great miracle. So he told him to go home. Yet Mark, in giving his description of these events, said, immediately he received his sight. He didn't go home. He followed Jesus along the road. Possibly he counted the words of Jesus saying, Lord, my family won't be expecting me home for a long time. They're probably in the street somewhere trying to see you. So please, Lord, don't send me home. Wherever you're going, that's where I want to be. In following Jesus, Bartimaeus indicates that he also saw that continuing happiness was also only possible in the presence and in the service of Jesus. It would have been thrilling to run home with the good news and thereby to have become the center of attraction for hundreds of people. I remember when I was 11 years of age, I went to the Corey Hall. It's no longer in Cardiff, but it was the place where all evangelistic events were held in those days. At the age of 11, listening to an evangelist preach, although I'd been raised in a Christian home, my eyes were open and I realized that I needed a savior for myself. My father's faith, my mother's faith, my brother's faith, my sister's faith, it was not enough. I needed a personal faith, and so I responded and I received Jesus into my heart. I remember I couldn't, when I'd been given literature and assured that I was now a Christian, you know the one thing I wanted to do? I wanted to run home and tell everybody, I'm saved! I'm saved! I've got literature! Look! 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 My parents were naturally thrilled. They'd been praying for it since the day I was born. Do you know my middle name? It's Christian. And do you know why they call me John Christian James? Because I was born just after my parents had been converted. And in that day, I didn't know it until I was ordained. They promised to give me back to the Lord to become a minister of the gospel. Isn't it amazing, God's providence? I didn't know that until I was ordained. Then they told me. But thank God for Christian parents who pray for you. Even when you don't know it, they're praying for you. Longing for you to discover what they've discovered about the Lord Jesus Christ. To meet the real Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit is to experience a miracle of transformation. When Jesus said, you must be born again, he meant it. When you receive Jesus, you receive a new nature. It's a new beginning. The old is past. And don't we have, all of us have some regrets in our past. But when you're born again, the past is the past and the future is yours with Jesus. Hallelujah. And what blessed hope there is in that. As Bartimaeus followed Jesus, he would gradually see the world, its joys, its sorrows, its events and human predicaments through the eyes of Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. God's loving action is seen in the followers of Christ is a result of seeing, believing, having, possessing, and doing God's will. Let me ask you a question. How's your sight? I'm not getting those people that need glasses as I do. Maybe there's someone here that can't see at all physically. I'm not referring to that. But can you see Jesus for who he is? Can you look back through the pages of history and see that what he did on the cross of Calvary, he did it for you? When he hung on that cross, he was saying, I love you. I'm doing this for you. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good that we might go at last. Where? To heaven. Saved by his precious blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you recognized the Messiah for who he is? And have you given your life to him? That moment when darkness is turned to light, when despair can be turned to hope, have you experienced your miracle of rebirth? I look around the congregation and I recognize most of you. I remember some of you the day that you actually came to life. Someone actually spoke to me today and said, you realize it's 40 years ago today that I became a Christian here. Thank you for telling me. What an encouragement to see fruit. Fruit that remains. Much fruit has been born here and is still being born. But it's not over yet. Maybe you're the fruit that's going to be plucked today and added to the kingdom of God. Let's pray for a moment. You're becoming a Christian. It's been said, as simple as ABC. It's not that easy. But to take that first step into the Christian life, you have to, A, admit that you're a sinner. That shouldn't be too difficult for us, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we must only admit that. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Savior. Believe it. And you have to come to him. You have to call on him. Make this your prayer today. I'm going to pray that loud, but you can pray it in the silence of your own heart and mind. Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. It really is as simple as that. Believe me, the Christian life is not simple. It's simple to become a Christian. The Christian life is tough. But he promises never to leave us, never to forsake us, to be there every step of the way. If you prayed that prayer today, you've started a life of transformation. And if you need help to understand a little more, please do ask me as you leave for a copy of this little booklet, Heaven and How Do You Expect to Get There. It's helped many hundreds of people over the years have a better understanding of the gospel. It can be yours this morning if you need it. Lord, hear our prayers this morning. Hear the prayers especially of those people that realize today, perhaps for the first time, that they need you and they're calling out to you. Will you give them that blessed assurance that you're there for them? That as they invite you into their lives, you will come and you will never leave them. Never forsake them. Bless them, Lord, I pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
And thank you, John, for bringing God's word so clearly and powerfully to us again this morning. Helen, who Sue and I have been getting to know over a little while now, Helen just feels that she has something to share with us from the Lord. So, Helen, do you want to come up and do that?
It was when John was speaking, I mentioned about how Bartimaeus hadn't been born blind. So he had vision at one point, maybe. And through your talk, John, God really spoke to me about how some of us, maybe, have accepted him as our Savior in the past. We knew who he was and we recognized him. But that something has hardened, maybe like a cataract develops over time in our hearts, and we can no longer see him for who he is. And that I feel like Jesus is saying, I am here and I'm calling you again. And that some of us here need to have that hardness removed from our hearts and our eyes and to see him again. And whether it's that we need to see him in a different way, that we never knew he was Lord, he was creator, he was king, he was redeemer, we had never acknowledged him like that. Or maybe we've forgotten. And we've had our vision clouded, but that Jesus is saying, this isn't just for those who've never heard. This is for us. We need that cataract removed from our eyes, the scales to fall off, and for us to acknowledge him. And so he's saying, who do you need to see me as? Because he is so much more than all we can ask or imagine. Every promise is yes and amen in Jesus. He is healer, he's redeemer, he's restorer, he's judge, he's provider, and he's king, and he's Lord, and so much more. And he is asking you today, will you bow the knee and let him remove that hardness from our hearts today and see him as that?
Sister. Thank you, sister. Before I hand back to John, I just wonder if we could just bow our heads right now, and I wonder if you feel that this might be appropriate for you. Just close your eyes, and it might be that you just want to open your hands, and you might want to receive Jesus for the first time this morning. You're not quite sure how to do it, but you know that actually this is the time that actually you're here this morning because Jesus has brought you here, and that you want to meet this wonderful Savior who loves you and died for you. For others, it might be, as Helena said, that we had our eyes opened, but something has happened, and there's something that's happened to our hearts. And we just don't like to admit it, but we see hardness and bitterness, where there's anger within us, not holiness. Maybe this is a time when we just come back to Jesus and say, Jesus, touch me again. And there are others here where we just long to be more like Jesus, but we just need more of his filling. Just more of you, Jesus. Just take away the dross and just replace it with your pure, refined grace. Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, move us, help us to see, help us to receive, help us to live. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And if you want those words, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. You can pray it in silence of your own heart. But praying it will make all the difference in the world.
Amen.
It'll be the difference between being lost and being saved. The difference between your final destination, hell or heaven. Let me lead you in a prayer. Make it your prayer.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life. Just take a moment to reflect on those things. If God brings something to your mind, just confess it in the silence of your heart. And then pray, please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you for the offer of forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I receive these gifts of grace right now. Please come into my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to smile on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you and keep you in his peace. Amen.